I first met Chester Sims during my 1966 Thanksgiving break from college. He was my best friend and college classmate's father. I lived in St. Louis then, a long way for a 3.5-day break from the San Francisco Bay Area. So I came home with Doug, stayed at the Flamingo here, and celebrated Thanksgiving with the entire Sims family. Chester, Marie, Dawn, and Doug, at what we now refer to as the 1308 Club, the Sims family residence at 1308 South 6th Street here in Las Vegas. I found Mr. Sims to be charismatic, a man with strong presence, warm and welcoming. Over the years, I spent more and more time with Mr. Sims, good times and bad, and in many settings, including Bay Meadows Racetrack, several New York eateries, including Cafe Chevron and Don Pepe's, and two of Stanley Shapiro's operations, the Royal Lancer and Swan Club on Long Island, not to mention countless times together here in Las Vegas. Like many of you here today, I experienced his warmth, kindness, wonderful sense of humor, and incredible generosity. Although his worldly sophistication and man's man genre was well known, he was also dedicated to overseeing a strong formal education for his children. As much as we talked sports, horse racing, the price on this event or that, including elections, he always wanted to know about school, about the content of our classes, and how hard Doug and I were working. Among the countless cherished memories I have of Mr. Sims, two stand out as real life lessons and that which is not learned in a lecture or from a book. The first is an instance where I tried to get over on Mr. Sims on behalf of his son with what I thought were my considerable and world-class powers of persuasion. It was the spring of 1968. Doug and I were attending Stanford University and living together off campus. At the time, Doug was dating a female singer who sang with a group called The First Edition, led by the now famous Kenny Rogers. Doug had decided to take a week off from school to be with his girlfriend who was on tour with the band. Under no circumstances did he want his father to know where he was or what he was doing. While he was away, Mr. Sims called late one evening, as he was prone to do, and I had the misfortune of answering the telephone. "Comrade Couch," he started, "how are you?" The comrade title was born of the liberal Vietnam-era college philosophies that Doug and I would often chide him with. After chatting several minutes, during which time I truthfully mentioned to him that I was just home from the library where I had been studying, he then asked to speak to Doug. I said, "Mr. Sims, he must still be at the library. I know he was over there, but he's not home yet. I'll have him call you the minute he gets in." There was a pause. Then, in an eerily quiet tone, he asked me in his godfather-like gravelly voice, "Comrade, I want to ask you a question. Where is Douglas?" My immediate and quite nervous reply was, "I believe, Mr. Sims, that he is in Denver." "Denver," he replied. Totally embarrassed, I said, "Yes, sir, I believe that is correct." "Comrade Couch," he said, "isn't Denver a long way from the Stanford Library?" Slowly, I replied, "Yes, sir, it is." "Comrade, you tell him," he continued, "to call me right away and have yourself a nice evening. What an evening. The second life lesson occurred during one of my sojourns to Las Vegas. Doug and I had been in the Flamingo Casino very late one evening after Mr. Sims had gone home. We saw two or three very successful and wealthy clients of his gambling and losing, using what in our smart alecky minds we thought were inferior gaming strategies. We couldn't wait to tell Chester the next morning what we had seen and express, in our arrogant way, how stupid these men were, referring to them as suckers. At the same time, Doug was looking for a small financial touch from his father to add to our entertainment fund. As Mr. Sims handed Doug some folding green, he quietly said, "Can I ask you super intelligent college boys a question?" "Sure," we replied. "Did you guys, real smart guys that you are, ever think of one thing when you were in the casino last night?" We stared blankly at him. He continued, tongue in cheek, "Did you ever wonder why all these suckers seem to have all the money?" After Marie's death, and she admonished me several times not to call her Mrs. Sims, I watched Mr. Sims' circle of friends and his children sustain him. He always seemed to relish being a father. He was intimately involved in all aspects of his children's lives. Despite his considerable contacts and social opportunities in the glittering world of sports and entertainment, he spent much time enjoying his beloved children and sharing in their lives. To me, the most telling legacy of Chester Sims' life and success is the relationship he had with his children. Both Dawn and Doug were and are well-educated, successful, and respectful members of the community. He was very close with Dawn, was very proud of her, and committed to her happiness. I remember him attending several of her then-boyfriend's Park League baseball games to sit with her. His love was returned 100%. He once kept the candlelight room here in the Flamingo open after midnight until Doug and I drove to Las Vegas so that he could celebrate with us what was a junior college graduation from Menlo College. It really meant a lot more to him than it did to us, but I especially enjoyed the celebration. Look today at this wonderful celebration of Chester's career, his life, and his friendships here in Las Vegas, organized by his son, Doug. A son who 35 years after the death of his father still grieves him as if he had just left us. He treasures the memories of great times he spent with his father fishing in Canada, at the 100th running of the Kentucky Derby, and on the telephone late at night when he was in college. He always hungers to hear any and all of your stories about his beloved father. I am certain that many of you here today who are moms and dads would consider your life complete if you have parented with both the devotion and the results Chester achieved. His children became his immortality and created for me what I think is Chester's truest legacy and most accurate description as a man. That is Chester Sims, father. God bless you, Mr. Sims, and may the perpetual light shine upon you always. Thank you all for being here to honor him today.